agenda for the evening, referring back to our first public hearing, which was subdivision 2022-18 Will King Station. Ms. Wingate, what's your pleasure?
If there's no more conversation about this evening, I'd like to defer for further consideration 2022-18 Will King Station.
Second.
Okay, it's moved and seconded to defer action on subdivision 2022-18 Will King Station to give the commission more opportunity to consider the testimony presented. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Carried. Our next item is conditional use number 2373, Sarah Peterson.
So on this one, just a technical issue. You know, we were talking about the site plan, not even the property line stuff or whatever,
yeah,
but
yeah.
The code actually says, it says it's 115-173. It says a preliminary site plan complying with the requirements of Article 28, which says you got to show everything, buildings, proposed uses, everything, shall accompany an application for approval of a conditional use under this article, together with such information as may be required for determination of the nature of the proposed use and its effect on the comprehensive plan, the neighborhood, and surrounding properties. Now, sometimes we and staff are flexible on that. We'll get, you know, the hand-drawn things that show where stuff's going to go. But I got to tell you, I question whether there was enough information on this one, you know, to be able to make a sound judgment, particularly when there's a property line dispute. Because there's an issue with that. We wouldn't be able to impose a conditional use on somebody that hadn't applied for it. You know, it'd be like,
right,
you know, Brian here going out and applying for a conditional use on my property. We couldn't,
right,
do that. You know, part of this conditional use juts over, the building does, onto the adjacent property. Now, I suppose if you're considering acting favorably upon it, you could make the conditional use line run through that building. But
what I do is remind.
Yeah.
Well, not the property line, but I mean, that's what the county would have to do, is say, all right, well, this is the conditional use line. It runs through that pasture in that building. But whatever. My point being that,
yeah,
there was back and forth on what was required in terms of a site plan, and a preliminary site plan is required. It's right.
What about the road and the easement for the road? Is,
yeah,
that an issue?
Well,
I don't know without investigating that further. It's going to,
yeah,
depend on what, if there's any limitations on it.
While we're talking about this, I can't participate in this one.
Yeah, he mentioned that to me. So once it got going, he had a conflict.
Explain later.
That's all right. That's fine. You don't need to explain.
I'm concerned about the access road too, because she does have her own designated roadway that she could be using. And is that one that she's using? I mean, that's a legal question.
Yeah, so it sounds like what, and Jamie can probably chime in on this, there was probably a minor subdivision that occurred at some point, and so they designated that as a 50-foot access to accomplish that minor subdivision, and just never used it, you know, sort of a mapping thing to get the subdivision approved, and it's never been used. That would be the other sort of, I guess, theoretical fix on it, is you'd say, all right, well, you can have it, but you got to put in that road down through that forest.
And then the other thing would be, if it does get approved, that there needs to be some strict conditions on there to protect Mrs. Peterson's property, because her saying that the rails were taken down to accommodate parking or something for one of the events, and she just happened to be, that's not right.
Both parties claim ownership to the barn.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's a bit unusual, I will say, without investigating it, that there would be a business use approved on a private easement, you know, that would burden that. I mean, that would be something to look into more. I know, did you?
I was just going to say, in regard to using that 50-foot lane as a road, the existing access as it is now exists on the applicant's property. So I don't know if that would have to be creating a second entrance on that, or, you know,
yeah,
what
the
Del
entrance,
Dot would want
the,
from that.
Yeah,
the entrance is literally on their property, but then it curves outside of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's true.
It's only the part that goes outside of her property, which is a lot of it.
Yeah.
It's an issue. And you are saddling the person, you know, the other Mrs. Peterson with the burden of maintaining a road for commercial use, basically.
Across someone else's property,
yeah,
even though you have an easement. I mean, it was an easement for residential use.
Yeah,
maybe
that's the point. You're right, Mr. Mayor. It's the easement might be a prescriptive easement.
Yeah,
it was a prescriptive easement for a residential use.
Right,
right.
Not a
now, that's a good point, Mr. Wheatley, because we think of easements, and I was thinking that there's a documented easement somewhere, and a prescriptive easement means there's not. It's just been established by use.
I'm all for approving a conditional use for that, but there's just some oddities that stand in the way.
There's also some vindictiveness that.
Well, what I'm
doesn't come into play though, just because it's land use, you know, so yeah, just to be clear.
But I don't want us being used as somebody else's. I don't want to empower one side or the other.
Right.
But from a strict land use interpretation, I think in any other setting, we would probably be saying, well, you know, your driveway's got to be on your property for your commercial business.
Yeah.
You can't be on somebody else's.
That, and you can't have your commercial business 25 feet on somebody else's
property. Well, I could probably live with that, drawing the conditional use line, you know,
yeah,
as just a way of saying, you know, I can be just as hard-headed as the two of you are being. You know,
I hear you. The problem with that is then that throws the county constable and enforcement people in the midst of it, because they're going to be calling
because this bickering isn't going to stop.
Yeah, they're going to call the county and say that they're dancing 2 feet over into my barn.
That's why I suggested.
And you got to come out and shut it down, which is a nightmare.
That's why I suggested a fence. I mean, there's going to be nonstop.
Yeah, right.
Until they forgive the past and each other, there's going to be nonstop controversy.
You got to put the fence through the barn.
Right. Put a wall.
Property line through the barn.
Right.
Hey, gotta fix the problem.
I love it.
At some point, there's gonna be somebody. Somebody's gonna be going to court, telling somebody else to remove that encroachment. That's what's more than likely gonna happen.
Well, that plot plan shows what should have been done.
I'm thinking we might want to meditate on this one a little bit.
Yeah.
Yep.
Marinate.
Okay. All right. With regards to conditional use number 2373, Sarah Peterson, I make a motion to defer for lots more consideration.
I second.
Defer action on conditional use number 2373, Sarah Peterson. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Carried. Thank you. Okay, our next item was conditional use number 2415, Dollar Orchard Co-op.
Mr. Chairman, I got a motion.
All right, let's have a motion.
I move that we recommend approval of conditional use 2415 for Delaware Electric Co-op based on the record and for the following reasons. One, the conditional use for an electrical substation is of a public nature, and it will promote the health, safety, and welfare of the residents of Sussex County. Two, the co-op has stated that the substation is necessary to maintain and improve its electrical service to the current and future residents of Sussex County. Three, the construction and use of an electrical substation on this site will not adversely affect neighboring properties or roadways. Four, no parties appeared in opposition to this application. Five, this application is subject to the following conditions. A, the perimeter of the substation shall be fenced. Two signs shall be permitted on the fencing around the property to identify the site and emergency contact information. C, any security lighting shall be shielded and downward screened so it does not shine on neighboring properties and county roadways. D, landscaping shall be provided to screen the facility from adjacent properties and roadways. F, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission.
I second.
Moved and seconded to recommend approval of conditional use number 2415, Delaware Electric Co-op, for the reasons and with the stipulations stated in the motion. Ms. Wingate, how do you vote?
Yes, for the reasons and conditions stated in the motion.
Okay, Mr. Mears?
Yes, for the reasons and conditions stated in the motion.
Mr. Collins?
Yes, for the reasons and conditions stated in the motion.
Mr. Butler?
Yes, for the reasons and the conditions stated in the motion.
And the chair votes yes for the reasons and stated in the motion. The motion carries 5-0. Thank you.
Quick learner.
Our next public hearing is change of zone number 1985, Love Creek Acquisition LLC.
I feel like this might still require some marinating, but I'm not sure how anyone else feels.
I like the concept that they have, but that doesn't mean that's what's going to happen.
The concept I love.
Yeah. If they did what they said, it would be perfect.
But. Yeah, well, and, I mean, you guys, there's merit to what they're saying. Knowing that was previously zoned to M next door and they said there was common ownership, it sort of, called into question what they're planning on this property. But at the same time, what's relevant is, do you think that the marine zoning is appropriate there? And can you live with it being 12 units an acre on that site, developed residentially and all the other stuff, knowing that that's what's essentially next door. I don't know if it's exactly 12, but it's higher density, you know. So, I just want to make clear, by my questions, I wasn't saying it shouldn't be zoned M, but it's also, I want to make sure you all understood, you know, what.
I love that. I love what you did for us. Yeah, that's important.
And it's on the record.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I actually, when I think through this, like, there's not a real, other than, gosh, we might be duped by their plans that are not really their plans yet, you know. Their long-term plans may be something different. What we've seen isn't necessarily what they're going to do. If we change the zoning, you know, it could just be more condo buildings, which is, you know, I think there's not really a problem that I have with that because we need more affordable housing, right? So, and theoretically, they're going to be more affordable than any of the housing developments nearby.
How affordable they might be, but.
Well.
I would just say in lowercase affordable, not like.
Lowercase.
I could buy one of them as a vacation rental for to rent out, but I'm sorry if I said that out loud. But no, that's.
I would really hate to see them put 12 units an acre there. I would really hate to see that. But all the other uses, I mean, even if there was a restaurant, it would be a perfect spot for that. And there's stuff like that across the street. And I think there's a great need for that. A bait and tackle shop would be awesome. And even having residential places above the businesses, I think that would be, if that's really their intent.
So I'm going to move that we approve.
No, actually, if you would defer it, just so we can make sure that we get the reasons right. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to move to defer the decision on the rezoning of 1985 Love Creek Acquisitions LLC.
I second.
Thank you.
Been moved and seconded to defer action on conditional use number 1985 Love Creek Acquisition LLC. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Carried. Thank you. Okay.
And that was 4-0, right?
That was 4-0 with the chairman abstaining because he didn't participate in the public hearing. Let's see. Our next public hearing was the change of zone number 1987 Longview Jefferson Creek LLC.
Mr. Mears, if you want me to take a crack at a motion for you on this one?
I would appreciate that,
this
sir.
This is on the fly. So, Mr. Mears' motion would be to remove condition number 14 of ordinance number 1763 and change in zone number 1557 regarding a fence because the fence no longer serves any purpose and it would be detrimental to the existing fully grown vegetation and wildlife in the area. However, this recommendation is subject to the condition that staff investigate the record from the hearing for the original RPC to determine if that condition was in response to a condition required or requested by the state for the adjacent wildlife area.
Excellent. So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded to recommend the approval of the 1987 Longview Jefferson Creek LLC for the reasons with conditions stated in the motion. Ms. Wingate, how do you vote?
Yes, for the reasons and conditions stated in the motion.
Mayors.
Yes, for the reasons and conditions stated in the motion.
Yes, for the reasons and conditions mentioned in the motion.
Okay. Mr. Butler.
Yes, for the reasons and conditions stated in the motion.
Chair votes yes for the reasons and conditions stated in the motion. The motion carries 5-0. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that completes our agenda for the evening.
No updates, although between now and the next meeting, Mr. Chairman, your new devices should be ready. So we're working on that between now and the next meeting.
Excellent.
And the one thing, in case anybody's listening too, and just because it came up with Mr. Collins, you know, the commission has a sort of a track record of deferring on anything, like except for this easy one, like Longview, Jefferson Creek, and the Delaware Electric Co-op one, because staff had asked to have a motion ready to go on that. The reason we do it is not, and this is as much for the public, because people don't understand that. Nobody should read into a deferral that it's going to be approved or denied. You know, it's more that if it's going to be approved or denied, to give you an opportunity, you know, individual commissioners or the commission as a whole to work with me to get a motion that will withstand an appeal. You know, because if you try to do some of these like that one on the fly, you could end up saying things that are irrelevant or not from the record or whatever. So, yeah. No, and I didn't single you out, but, you know, just so it's kind of, I actually had to tell somebody during the break today, you know, expect a deferral on something else because that's how we operate, don't read anything into it. So,
And if you have a conflict, you got to remove yourself from the hearing, correct?
Yeah, that one, now, just, so, we talked about that, and it came up during the hearing. It wasn't one that was known at the outset.
Okay.
Kind of recognized it as it was speaking.
Yeah, so.
Okay, one more. I won't be at the next hearing.
Okay, yeah.
Somebody comes up and I thought I recognized it.
Remember, I was a customer.